We welcome you today on this July 2nd, 2023, 247th birthday of the founding of America, July 4, 1776. This July 4th will mark 247 years of America, and I will be sharing with you a message concerning God's providence, God's protection, and God's blessing upon this great country. And so the title of today's message is simply this: Proclaiming Liberty. Proclaiming Liberty. And it is taken from Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10, dealing with the year of Jubilee for the nation of Israel in the Mosaic Law. And in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10, the scripture says this: You shall hallow the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. So, in the year of Jubilee, every 50 years, everyone that was indentured or everyone that was enslaved would be set free and would be sent back to their property, and it would be provided for them again and sent back to their family. And I'll tell you why I chose this verse here in a moment. Let's go to the Lord. Father, as we call on you today, we ask, Lord Jesus, for your wisdom and your guidance. And we ask that your Holy Spirit will touch our hearts. And I pray, Father, for forgiveness of daily sin, weekly sin, the sins I've committed yesterday, today, this morning. And I ask to be cleansed by your blood as I confess these things out loud in that office before I take that short walk here. And so, Father, I pray to be cleansed by your blood, anointed by your spirit with a spirit of humility. And, Father, I pray that your word will go out and it will pierce hearts as we look at your scriptures, for they alone are truth. And Father, I want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. And I want to thank you for the United States of America, who is our country. I thank you for our heavenly home, Father, that awaits us. And I thank you for the home in which we live now. And I pray your protection and guidance. And I pray for repentance in America to turn back to God. And so, Father, as we come today, guide us and lead us. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. As I read to you Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10, I want to grab one phrase, and if you're an expositor, you would call it Leviticus 25, verse 10, part B. And the phrase is this: Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. I'm going to say it again. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Now, Brother Leo, what's the significance of that phrase? Well, that phrase is on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. And on July 6, 1776, that bell was rung throughout the land. As the signers of the Declaration left Independence Hall, what is now called Independence Hall, in Philadelphia, knowing that their fate had been sealed, many would be killed, they would lose their lands, their businesses, their families would be taken prisoner, their wives. On July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, as they were drafting the Declaration of Independence, couriers were sent out on the fastest horses all throughout the colonies to warn the families and hide the families. Two signers of the Declaration went up, and I can't remember their names. One was the largest man there. The other was the smallest. And as they went to sign together, the larger one looked down at the smaller one and he said, "You think because we're signing, our names are back to back here, that we'll be hung together?" And the little one looked at it, up at him and smiled. He said, "Well, I just want you to know, as heavy as I am, as soon as they hang me, my neck is going to snap, but you'll hang and flounder and dance around for several hours." They knew their fates were sealed. And so yet, with courage, they took a stand. I want to read to you part of the Declaration of Independence, and then we'll get into the scripture. And it says this, this is the beginning. It says, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to this separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator, capital C, Creator God, with certain unalienable rights, unrevocable rights, untransferable rights." Right, unalienable means rights that cannot be taken from the possessor. So our God has given us inalienable rights, endowed us with unrevocable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Given to us by our God and by our Creator. During this time, I want to read you two quotes, and then we're going to get into the scriptures. The first one, by George Washington. He said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor." Now that's a sermon. Yeah. It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence and control and the authority of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And John Adams said this, "The safety and prosperity of nations ultimately and essentially depend on the protection and the blessing of Almighty God." And the national acknowledgement of this truth is an indispensable duty which all the people owe to Him. Praise God for the founders of America. John Adams also, in many of his writings, wanted the 4th of July to be a religious holiday in which churches would meet and thank God for His providence, protection, and the birth of the nation. And in one letter to his wife, he said, "The birth of our Savior takes preeminence as a national holiday. The Resurrection Sunday is always on a Sunday, so the churches meet then anyway. But the churches that met on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day," he acknowledged that that was, you know, appropriate and the primary focus. But he said, second to that, there should be a national religious holiday on July 4th where there would be church services and we would recognize God. How far we have moved to fireworks and food trucks, and no one knowing what the 4th of July stands for. But those 56 signers of that declaration 247 years ago knew what was at risk. So let's go to the word, Psalm 33. Psalm 33, and we're going to apply this to a nation. We're also going to apply it to individuals. And in Psalm 33, verse 11, in this, again, written to the nation of Israel and their unique relationship with God as God's chosen people. However, I'm going to apply some of these things as to principles. And in Psalm 33, verse 11, the scripture says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people," this is Israel, "whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." But I want to grab the first part of verse 12. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." That Lord means lordship, and it means this: blessed is the nation that acknowledges the true God of heaven and submits to his rightful place of authority. Blessed is the nation that acknowledges the true God of heaven and submits to his rightful place of authority and governs itself by God's divine counsels, verse 11, and God's divine moral law. And it results in us being blessed. And if you remove those things, you're removing the blessings of God. And so the scripture tells, the nation that obeys and acknowledges God will be blessed. Verse 16 says this: "There is no king saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by all of his strength. A horse and cavalry and weapons, they are a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that reverence him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope and trust in thee." What the psalmist is saying there, a nation never needs to get so full of itself that it thinks it can survive without God, that it thinks it's powerful enough militarily, sound enough economically, in any way, shape, or form, that it is only God that can deliver a nation, God that can protect a nation. In the American Revolution, in the War of 1812, in the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, any of those wars that we took part in, the Gulf Wars, etc., Afghanistan, it is only by the protection of God that we can survive, that we can thrive, that we can find this victory. And the psalmist says it clearly in Psalm 75. Look what the scripture says. The founding fathers believed in the divine providence of God. They believed they were who they were. They were men of their time. They were placed in the place of their time by the divine providence of God. And in Psalm 75, verse 4, it says this: "I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly. To the wicked, lift not up your horn." You know, to the wicked people that think they're getting by with wickedness and lift themselves up in arrogance. "Lift up not your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and he sets up another." Amen. And that's divine providence. And the founding fathers lived by it, and they knew by it, and they pledged their allegiance unto God and their loyalty unto God. The nation that obeys God will be blessed. Go all the way to Joshua chapter 1. As the nation of Israel was promising, was crossing into the promised land. And the Lord spoke unto Joshua. And he said this about obedience. And it works in the individual life also. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 7, he says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. It needs to become part of you, part of your lifestyle, part of your living. You need to ingest it mentally. That thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and you shall have good success. If you live in obedience, if you stay away from sin and evil and destruction. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When you're living in obedience and living in God's will, you can count on God's presence being with you. And if individuals, we've got to hold this up, we've got to seek this, because our country, I do not believe, can count on God's presence being with them any longer. But I'm praying for repentance, a great awakening, a great revival. I can't give up on America. I'm not going to give up on America. Because there's too many children and grandchildren that deserve to grow up in America that reveres and respects God. And to enjoy God's blessings as I have enjoyed in America. But notice what he says in verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. I tell folks all the time, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way, because I don't want you to misunderstand the emotion I'm trying to describe to you. But I describe it this way, and then I'll try to expound it. I fear not being in God's will. But I want you to understand, I don't fear it to the point that a bolt of lightning is going to come out of the sky and wipe me out. I know God is patient and God is merciful and God is loving. But I fear for myself being out of God's will. I want to be in God's will because that's where the blessings are. That's where He can use me in the way He wants to use me. And He's been so good to me and has blessed me so much. I do not want to get out of His will and not live out my life in the places doing the things God wants me to do.
Amen. Yes, thank you, Lord.
You might say, I can say I owe Him at least that.
Yeah.
Patty and I were in Charleston, and as we were at a stoplight, a black man went across in a wheelchair with no legs. With no legs. And as I sat there, I said, Lord, forgive me.
Yeah.
I didn't thank you for my legs this morning.
That's right. Amen.
And it's not that God expects us to thank Him, you know, for everything, every moment. But there are reminders God sends us.
Yeah.
You know, I had some things to do that day, but I was not in a wheelchair with no legs.
Amen.
And so what I want you to understand, you've got to come to a place in life where it's not about you.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
You know, it's not about you getting everything you want. It's not about your entitlement. It's not about you thinking this world revolves around you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and all the blessings He's already overabundantly bestowed upon us. And as Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. We say ask not all the time what God needs to do for you. But what can you do for the God that has already blessed you?
Amen. Yeah.
These founders and our forefathers, they were wealthy men. I can watch some of these liberal shows and they'll say, you know, it's a bunch of wealthy white men founded this country. Yeah, you better believe it. They had more to lose than anybody else. All they had to do was compromise. All they had to do was stay in consortium with King George. They didn't have to take a stand based on their convictions and beliefs. But they would have rather died free than live under the parameters that were being placed upon them. We live in a nation now that folks want to be comfortable. You know, they don't want to rock a boat. They just want to go along, just want to be comfortable. And so Joshua was told that process. Look at what it says. Look at what he says. Have I not commanded you? And then he says in verse 8, it'll make your way prosperous. You will have good success. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God blesses obedience. In obedience, we find prosperity, success, victory. And they are the results. We have the unfailing God and His presence with us. But I want you to understand something. Obedience, for obedience's sake, is not biblical. I told you, blessing is the result of obedience. Obedience has to be the result of something also. So obedience for obedience's sake is not biblical. It has to be the result of something. It has to flow out of something. So go with me to Psalm chapter 1. And in Psalm chapter 1, the very first psalm, verse 1, it begins with that word, blessed. I'm in the Psalms every day. Sometimes I read whole psalms. Sometimes I'll read 3 verses out of one, 4 verses out of another. They feed me. They're emotion. The psalms are emotion. They're passionate. They're intimate with God. It's relationship. And that's what your obedience has to flow out of. It has to flow out of relationship. Psalm chapter 1 says this, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So what is that really? That's obedience. You're not over there in sin. You're not over there in evil. Blessed, and his delight, I love that word, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the Lord's law, he meditates day and night. That word delight means to take pleasure in, to enjoy. I enjoy the Word of God. You say, Brother Leo, you know, I'm reading through the Bible in a year, or sometimes I just don't feel like doing my devotional, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's because you've been blinded to the benefit of it. I feel like every morning when I get in the Word of God, I'm going to get something I've never gotten before. I feel like every time I get in the Word of God, I'm going to learn something about myself and about life that's going to give me more victory, more joy and peace that I've never seen before. It's a well of refreshment and rejuvenation that the eternal truth of God has been revealed to me and given to me. I'll read the epistles, I'll read the Psalms, I'll read some of the words of Jesus, and man, they just feed your heart. And so, as he delights and meditates upon the Word, and well, how do you meditate? Well, you say, Lord, what are you saying there? What are you saying to me there? What did Jesus mean there? And you let him speak to you. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's the blessing of the Lord. And in verse 6 it says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. So you are to delight in your relationship with God. Delight in, take pleasure in the life the Lord has given you. I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but the man in the wheelchair had his backpack and different things. He was homeless. Maybe I mentioned it, maybe I didn't. So he was homeless without legs. I've got a home.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had a home my whole life. Never have I been homeless. Never have I been hungry. And so I delight in that life.
Yes.
I take such joy in all that God has blessed me with. And so We delight in, we live in this flow. Go to Psalm 16, look at what he says. And we can apply this to America. As we apply it to an individual, in Psalm 16, verse 5, I love this. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. You maintain my lot in life. You have given and blessed me, and you maintain me. You sustain me. Verse 6, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. You know, the boundary lines of your inheritance in life have fallen into a good place. You got people that love you. You've got family, you've got friends, you've got provision. God's given you a mind to succeed in business or in your career. He's provided for you. He's opened doors. There are times I go through a prayer of thanksgiving for Daniel and Kylie, and I get so hung up on all the doors God has opened for Daniel and Kylie, and I'll just go on and on and on. I go all the way back to when they first were in Nashville, and he opened this door, and he let them meet this person and meet that person. And I see the hand of God in all of that. And you know what? I see the hand of God like that on my life. Now, I was sitting there, I started crying during one of the songs today. I'm here today because of a man whose son was killed, whose son-in-law was killed by an Iranian Exocet missile when he was serving on the USS Stark in the Persian Gulf. That man was from Tampa, Florida, and he was the connection between me and Ed Garden. And so when he left Tampa and moved to Charleston with his family, his daughter met a sailor who was stationed in Charleston. I did their wedding. They had a baby. He got deployed. And he was killed. The family had already left Charleston. And he said, Brother Leo, can you come to Fort Benning? Actually, it was Phoenix City, Alabama, to do the funeral. And so I went. And when we got there, there was an ensign waiting for us, and the Department of Navy handled everything. It was the first military funeral I'd ever done. I was probably 26 years old. All the press was there. All the networks were there from Atlanta. CNN was there. I rode in a car, a limousine, with admirals, with Department of Navy people. And when I did the funeral at Phoenix City, the baby started crying. She's about 6 months old. And that night on the news, they had the part that I was preaching when the baby was crying. And I can't remember what I said. But that was the main thing, that this young man had died protecting the future of that baby. And since then, I have done dozens of funerals with a flag draped casket. And as I was sitting there, Lehman, I was thinking, how much of our younger generation has ever seen a military funeral?
Amen. That's right, brother.
Your brother had one.
Yes, he did.
Thank you. You know, my uncles I did. My cousins I've done. My dad I did. 21 gun salute, taps, the flag folded up and given unto my son for his grandfather. Saluted. All gave some. Some have given all. For this great nation of ours. And we don't even know. There were 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. We don't know the difference between the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. We don't understand the Bill of Rights. And many Americans don't care. Would the veterans just stand up? Lehman, you stand for your brother because he's in heaven. Would the veterans in this room just stand up? God bless you. Thank you. And so we live in a nation. Let me show you something. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 1. George Washington said that it is the duty of every citizen to acknowledge God. John Adams said that it is the duty of every citizen to acknowledge God's protection, His provision, and His blessing. And the nation who acknowledges God as Lord, as Creator, as supreme authority, as righteous judge, will always be blessed. And the nation that turns in gratitude continually unto God will always be blessed. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it says that the culture changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. All men are given these inalienable rights, unrevocable, by their Creator. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men instead of women, working that which is unseemly. Verse 32, and the culture, knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do they partake, but they take pride in them that do those things. And if you come to verse 28, it says, God did not, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they did not retain God in their knowledge, neither were they grateful. If you go back to verse 21, it says that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they grateful. I believe this nation is worth fighting for and standing for, and I know our God is worth acknowledging and proclaiming. Gloria, under the leadership of the Lord, gave me this. It was written by a man named Sam Weaver, January 14, 2009. And it's called American Eyes. And it says, Lord Jesus, open American eyes. Remove the stupor and expose the lies. The same old pitfall, arrogance and pride, have caused America to set God aside. America, what happened to you? You're no longer giving God His due. Do you really think you can cut off God's truth and still be what you were once in your youth? The favor of God that we've had in the past is now leaving out, and it's leaving us fast. Lord Jesus, open American eyes, remove the stupor, and expose the lie. And so we live in a nation that is ungrateful unto God. That because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. And it says this in verse 28, and as even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. I want you to understand that's a part of the judgment of God. God gives us over. He'll allow us to be given over to evil, to a reprobate mind. If you look at what it says, go to Psalm 50 and look what the Scripture says. in Psalm 50, and I think this is America, I know it was spoken to the nation of Israel. In Psalm 50, verse 16, the Lord says, "But unto the wicked, God says, what have you to do to declare my statutes? Or that thou should take my covenant in thy mouth?" It gets me when these politicians close these speeches out and say, "God bless America." After they've talked about man's no longer man and woman's no longer woman and marriage is no longer marriage and family's no... But God bless America. Just throw it in there. You know, who are you to take my covenant in your mouth, seeing that you hate instruction and you cast my words behind you? Verse 19, you give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. And in verse 21, he says, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. We don't need God. You know, we are become as God. Science will save us. Biology will save us. Our technology will save us. I will reprove thee, and I will set things in order before my eyes. And then verse 22, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. You can't get any more serious than that. We need a John Adams. We need someone that will stand up and say, we need a national day of prayer. America needs to repent. We need on a day of the week to shut down everything in America, have every church building open, and have every clergyman lead their congregation for 4 or 5 hours in prayers of repentance and conviction and mourning and sorrow, and ask that we turn from our wicked ways, and ask that we will humbly seek God's forgiveness.
Amen. Yes.
But do you think we're going to hear that in the American political system from any party? No. But 247 years ago, it was spoken quite frequently. I was reading some of the documents last night, and there are literally hundreds of times the phrase divine providence is used. In all the founders' writings, the divine providence of God, the divine providence of God, the divine providence of God. Go with me to Proverbs 3. Ye that forget God, and look at what the promise is. In Proverbs chapter 3, it goes back to this. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Acknowledge His authority. Seek His guidance. And He will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. What that means is don't come up with your plan and ask God to bless. Say, God, I have no plan. I need yours. And I will follow it when you reveal it to me. But notice what he says. My son, forget not my law in verse 1, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Obedience has to be the result of something. So go with me to John 14. And I close with this. This is what America needs. This is what religion needs. And this is the words of Jesus. We're talking about obedience. If you're obedient, you're going to be blessed. But obedience for obedience sake is not biblical. It's got a result from something. And in John 14, Jesus gives you the true motivation of obedience. In verse 23, Jesus says this, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." If a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him and within him. Verse 20, "At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I will be in you. And if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him and in him." Obedience must flow out of our love relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't love somebody you don't know. He's talking about real love. You can't love someone in the way you need to love them if you don't know them very well. And so our personal, intimate, loving relationship, we must be in a relationship of personal love indwelt by the Spirit to truly exercise biblical obedience. So that exempts all robotic, religious, outward obedience. Works-based, ritualistically based. Well, why are you doing that? Well, my religion tells me to do that. Why are you bowing and standing up? Why are you doing hand gestures? Why are you putting this on your forehead? Well, the religion tells me to do that. Why do you do this? Well, my religion tells me to do that. God, you're not going to be blessed one bit in this life or the life to come. Obedience, simply for obedience' sake, is never what God spoke of. Even the Old Testament said, "I'll write my commandments on their hearts. I'll put my spirit within them," where there is a desire to obey God. Patty never asked for anything. The other night we got into the hotel and she goes, "You know, I am craving a vanilla cone from McDonald's." Now, we were tired, you know, stuff. But she never asked for anything. I said, "Well, we're going back out and we're going to get one." There wasn't a McDonald's close. She goes, "Well, I'll take a Frosty." I said, "Okay." We pull into the Wendy's, go to the drive-thru, she wanted Chick-fil-A milkshake. We pull into Chick-fil-A, go in the, done rode around, couldn't find an open McDonald's, go in there, and I said, we want a vanilla milkshake and a chocolate. She goes, "I'm sorry, we're out of ice cream." About 9:30, 10. I said, "Well, let's go to, how about Wendy's?" "Yeah, I'll take a Wendy's." No, she didn't. She said, "No, let's just go back to the hotel." I said, "No, Patty, we're not going back to the hotel. We're going to get this milkshake." I said, "We're not going to go back to the hotel." So we go to Wendy's, and bless Wendy's heart, there must be 10 people in line. But I wanted to get it for her. I said, "No, Patty, we are going to get this." I said, "You never ask for anything. This is something you want." And guess what? The guy gives us the milkshakes with paper straws, Liz, like we got on the cruise. And those milkshakes are thick. And by the time, you couldn't get anything through it and the straws disintegrated. It was a disaster. But the bottom line is, I love her. She never asked for anything. And whatever it takes, I was going to do this. And she does tons of stuff for me because she loves me.
Yeah.
And Patty and I have been together 47 years. And the thing of it is, I look back over all those years, and she's always been there for me. And it's always been love, and I want to please her, and she wants to please me. And it is the same way with Jesus Christ, who calls the church his bride.
Yeah. Amen.
And you know why I want to live obediently? Because I don't want to disappoint the one that's been so good to me. I want to be obedient because I know I'll be blessed, and I know I'll please God, and I want to please God, and I want to thank Him not only for how He's blessed me, but for my loved ones. And so obedience has to come out of this love relationship that not only recognizes He loved me so much He died for me, but also the gratitude I have in every element of our walk with Christ. Every good gift we have has come from Him. And I feel sorry for these people in these work-based religions that have this coldness. They don't have that inner. They don't have the warmth of their walk with Christ. They don't even know if they're saved or not tomorrow. And so we come to a place. If you go back to Psalm 33, and I close, where America has forgotten to be grateful unto God. But as for me and my house, I'm going to thank Jesus for all He's done for America. I'm going to acknowledge Jesus for all He's done for America, and I'm going to give God alone the credit for this nation being blessed. In verse 11, it says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the thoughts of His heart to all generations." Whatever God said 2,000 years ago in His Word still stands. Whatever God said 4,000 years ago in His Word still stands. Whatever God established in the Garden of Eden still stands. Whatever He spoke through the prophets, whatever Jesus taught, whatever Paul was led to write, it still stands.
Amen.
And blessed is the nation who will choose to acknowledge the authority of the God of heaven and submit to His rightful place as divine authority over our country. Look at what it says, verse 13. "The Lord looks from heaven. He beholds all the sons of man." You know something? God's watching us. He's watching everybody. "From the place of His habitation, He looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. There is no king saved." Verse 18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy." And in verse 20, "Our soul," I say with you today, "our soul waits for the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, He is our help and He is our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee." 247 years, America is still here. We are here because of those that came before us. You know, there are those in the back with Patty and others that are working with the children. Those are the ones we've got to take a stand for. Kathy, you got a grandbaby that's in the womb. Those are the ones that deserve the America we grew up in. Brother Leo, I didn't know it was this bad. Well, get your head out of the sand. It's this bad. It's real bad. But God will not forsake us. But we need to make sure we don't forsake Him. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to take a few moments and thank the Lord for some things in your childhood and in your family. The freedoms you have enjoyed in America, the America you grew up in. The churches, the preachers, the teachers, the parents, the grandparents. Those that believed in God and country and family. And would you make a commitment to do your part to take a stand for the God of heaven and His ways? The scripture says, God says, this is a people who have not known my ways. We take a stand today in America for the ways of God, knowing America needs God today more than ever. And everyone in this room and listening on this website can say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve and acknowledge the Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you ask God to make you aware of your opportunities to make America a godly nation in the sphere of influence that He has given you.